Anyway, before I get started, as we were worshiping, it was just really impressed in my heart that there's a lot of encouragement needed here. A lot of people are working through a lot of things, and it's so easy to let discouragement just start to get on us. And I appreciate what Bonnie had to say, and just with that, no matter what we're walking through, we really need to know deep within our hearts, God loves us incredibly.
Yes.
And that's what we need to dwell on and to be able to say, thank you, Jesus, for your love. And it's him that gets us through it all, right?
That's
so
good.
Take our eyes off of whatever we're walking through and get focused on him. So, Father, I just want to ask that for all those that are walking through and are discouraged, Lord, that by your Spirit, even right now, Lord, I just speak peace as people's hearts turn towards you.
Yes.
So good morning, church.
Good morning.
And I want to say a special good morning to my sister, Janet, in Agassiz. Hi, Jan. She's been faithful watching every week the service. So there you go. Yeah, people are. So back in early September, I was up north, Terrace and places, and just been waiting for the right time to start to share some of that. So to start with, and it all sort of ties together with other things I'm going to talk about, but in September, went north to Terrace with Jose Mendoza and Brian Young. And from Terrace, we drove an hour and a half to Prince Rupert. And we met up with people from Gitignau, which was a village east of Terrace that we've been to a couple times. And the two pastors, the one pastor's wife and their daughter, they met us in Rupert, which was really great. We've really connected with them. And their names are Leo and Eva Mercer and their daughter Trina and Pastor Don Lincoln. And over the few months that we've been walking through all this stuff, it's been a really hard name, but these four people have been so faithful in their community, walking through their community, praying, and just really, you know, just lifting up the name of the Lord. There's Christians in the community, but a lot of people are under so much fear that a lot of people just stay in their homes. And the church there really needs support, and unfortunately what's happened is a lot of the Christians, rather than coming to the church and being a part of things and supporting them, they go on TV and watch the TV evangelists and send their support to them. So be praying for them. We had exciting times when we were there, and I'm getting reports all the time of like grizzly bears walking down their streets and stuff like that. That's pretty wild. So here we are in Rupert, and we had two nights there. We went to a church, it's a native church, Compassion Explosion Bethel Church. And their church is in upstairs of a building downtown Prince Rupert, and it's not even half the size of this room. And we had about 60 people in there, and you wouldn't know that there was, I don't know if I should be saying this, but you wouldn't know that there was any kind of distancing thing happening. The people were there, and they were just ready to worship God, and it was pretty neat. The thing is that we got there, the service started at 7, and now we had been flying, we had been driving, service starting at 7, and it went to like 1 in the morning. So, and most of these people go home and go to bed, but we had to be up the next morning early to go to meetings. So it was good. It was a wonderful time, but it's like it goes on and on and on and on. And the thing is, it's like everybody there is a musician. So they love music. With the native people, that's one of their main things is music. They just love music. So you're worshiping away, and some other person will walk up, pick up a guitar, and start playing. And this is just happening all night. And then there's a pastor there, but You know, it was all pretty neat. But then you get some guy walk up with a guitar. Okay, now what we're going to do is we're going to do this and do that. And it's just like they sort of take over the service. And then there's this one guy, bless him, his name is Charlie Tensong. And he travels to all the villages around Prince Rupert. And he comes with his binder and he's got 10 songs. So he's got to work through his 10 songs. So it's a lot of fun, though, but pretty exhausted at the end of the night. Charlie Tensong. There was another fellow. We were actually in Terrace on our way to Rupert, and we were at the drugstore, and there was a native fellow came out. He was outside, and he came up, and we were talking to him, and right from the start, he's talking about, yeah, you know, I played in this band, and I play this instrument, and I've been writing these songs, and, you know, tomorrow I'm going here. And it's like he was just talking about his music and his guitar playing and all that stuff. And it was very interesting because I tried to make other conversation with him, and he just went on about the music. And so here we got to Terrace, and we were in the service. Well, actually, we walked in, but who's sitting there is this fellow. He just showed up to be on the worship team because he knew that we were going there. And he just up and took charge of it. And he's a good musician. But I guess just what I started to see, and it was wonderful, wonderful people. But over the last while, and from it started up there, the Lord was speaking to me about identity. And for a lot of the people, this is where they felt their value, their identity was in being a musician or whatever, right? And people go to other things too, but that was a very strong thing with them, that these guys would, that was their identity, a lot of it. So I found that what they really need is a lot of discipleship there. Love the Lord. And it's just incredible that the music is mostly old hymns, but I love a lot of the old stuff. Just really solid, good. The pastor there, his name is Gary, and his wife is Rose, and beautiful couple. But they're walking through trauma. It was only about 3 years ago. Their daughter was raped and murdered, and when I met her, the first thing she could do was bring out her phone, and she was showing me pictures of her daughter, and that's where she still is. She's still walking through this grief and trauma, and here she is, the pastor's wife, and they're trying to lead this church, and you know, so it's very difficult, and so I it's hard going up there for just a couple days when. You know, I believe that as time goes on, that God, well, we've already sort of been planning some things, that there needs to be some long-term relationship stuff happening. You know, to just fly in for 2 days and have a good time and then to take off. And not that we have everything that they need, but they do need more encouragement. You know, like Bonnie and I, more and more, we're planning on doing that here is working with trauma, dealing with every one of us to some extent have been walking in trauma from the time we were children. Some of us have dealt with some of it and some of us haven't. And I'm always meeting people that, you know, Christians, love the Lord, but 30, 40 years later, they're just not walking in the fruit of the Spirit. They're not walking in joy. So, you know, God wants to bring us to a place where we can walk healed and be able to function. And of course, with the native people, you're always talking about the 60s scoop. That's the residential school thing, right? And they're stuck there. So a lot of what I'm doing is trying to build relationship and in that walk through healing and forgiveness. Forgiveness is huge. We had Kathy Annie here, if you guys remember, not too long ago. But it's a major thing, not just on the reserve with natives, but for all of us, is how do we walk through forgiveness? And it was a bit sad because there was only a few young children there. But they weren't in worshiping with us. They were in a back room on their iPads and phones and their video games and stuff. And that's, unfortunately, that's where a lot of young people are just spending their time. They're occupied in that, and we need to pray about that. How do we bring them in? And I believe that even for our church here, we need to pray in some young families. And you know, one of our main ministries should be towards children. That's the generation that's coming up. And so Lord, we thank you in that, and we just ask for there and here, Lord God, that you would bring families, and that the children would hear the goodness of God, the Word of God. So I actually wrote down here that I believe that that far beyond this pandemic that they call it, I'm not going to get into what I think about it, but I believe that we have a major epidemic we have an identity crisis, not just in the world, but in the church too. We have an identity crisis. So after Terrace, we went back to, after Prince Rupert, we went back to Terrace, and there's an Alliance Church there that we've connected with, been there a few times now, wonderful people, and they've just, I see it as sort of the hub of all that God's doing out into the reserves and the communities there. This is sort of the hub church in Terrace. Wonderful couple, and with that, in building relationship, there's a fellow that I got to really get to know a lot more. His name is Slade. And you hear that name, you think, oh, boy, what's that? And I think he was an ex-biker. I don't know. But anyway, his parents named him Slade. I don't really know why. But anyway, he's a wonderful guy. And he has a charter boat out in Prince Rupert. And he's been doing that for forever, just taking people out in charters. But just recently, Brian and Jose, they went up for another trip, and I didn't go this time, but they came back, and there's plans now in May, and we've already booked his boat. We're going for 10 days from Rupert to Metlakatla and different villages up and down the coast, which is wonderful. That's actually been a vision of mine for like 45 years, and God's just bringing it to... It's going to be real. So it's a ways from now, but I'm looking forward to it. And again, I believe that a lot of it is to bring healing, deliverance, not going to try to change anybody. I believe that God loves the culture, but God gave me a word, and it's how do we be culturally relevant without compromising the gospel? And I've seen the ways that... you know, I mean, bless people, and their hearts are towards change, of course, and seeing what God can do. But I've seen both approaches where people go in and they say, well, you have to change, you have to do this, you have to do that. And we lose the people then. And then there's the other approach too, that we'll just go in and we'll be like them. We'll take part in the all the spiritism, the sweat lodges, and all that kind of stuff. And it's a compromise to try to win favor. And that's a disaster, too. So I believe what God wants to do is we go in, love the people, and just go and bring the presence of God and His love towards them. It's the Holy Spirit's job to change what needs to be changed. So it's difficult, but I know that that's the only way that things are going to change. So after Terrace, flew back home, and because I didn't get much sleep for a couple nights, I was pretty tired and got home, and I tried to catch up on my sleep. And I think it was about Wednesday, got home, I think it was Monday, Wednesday or Thursday, phone rings, and here's Brother Lionel Batke on the phone. Hi, Ron. Says, yeah, I'm just heading over to the island and want to know if you want to go with me. And when I got the phone call right away, it's like this was Paul phoning. And he's on another journey. And so he invited me. My first thoughts, well, I'm pretty tired. But then I thought, no, this is the Lord. So I went with Lionel to Vancouver Island. And we went to a village called Now, it's these native names that are hard, right? You got to have a, you put the T and the S together type thing. It's called Tswawaut, I think. And it's in an area called Saanichton by the Sea, 20 minutes from Swartz Bay near Sydney. So there's a village of 800 people. So being that it was my first time there, I was asked to get up and speak, and I thought, well, you know, all I'm going to do is just give a testimony and need to build a relationship. So I gave a testimony, just a short one, about an hour and a half, and then, not at all. And then Lionel was speaking, and I just love Lionel, because if you know Lionel, of course, he comes out and he sings two or three songs while he's preaching, and he's got quite a voice, but it was powerful. So met some wonderful people there. One of the pastors there, his name is Hugh Marks, and his wife is Tabita. He's white and she's native. To be praying for them, she just was diagnosed with cancer in March. So here they are in the church too, and just trying to pull it all together, and now they're dealing with that. So that's Hugh and Tabita Marks. And they have the associate pastor there, where I stayed the night. I forget their name. Oh, yeah. Solomon. No, Moses. His name is Moses. Of course, they give themselves their own name. Moses and Sarah. Yeah, my rooster is Solomon. So their name is, Moses and Sarah. And anyway, wonderful couple, and that's the associate pastors. And they're from Korea, and they've been with the church there like for 15 years. But, wonderful couple too. So, and again, there, as I got talking to Hugh, it's been a bit of a challenge because something that's happening in the native church that's quite controversial is like, okay, so what do we do culturally? How do we worship God? And do that and still be able to, you know, walk in our traditional things. So I got to talking to him about, well, you know, like, how do you feel about drums in church? And then we talked about regalia and just all those different things. And I have my thoughts on it where God wants to redeem a lot of the things that are okay, that we can use to worship God. And he was still wrestling with this. And meanwhile, their worship was wonderful, but there's one fellow there, awesome guitar player, but between being at church and worshiping, when he's not there, he's on the reserve in the longhouse in some of their traditional stuff there that's glorifying other things. So they're trying to work through all that too, you know, to keep the people in the church, to love on people. But again, so my heart is, how do we be culturally relevant without compromising the gospel? And it can be very difficult. Wonderful worship, though. The people were beautiful, had a wonderful time there. And I think what I see a lot sometimes, and not just there, but I've seen it in churches here, sometimes for the lack of not having enough musicians, and you know someone can play the guitar, okay, just come on up and worship. And personally, I don't really think that's good. Because I think people's hearts, first of all, you need to be in relationship with you know, the church. And it's a huge responsibility to be worshiping. And our hearts need to be right before the Lord. Because we project what's in our hearts. So, anyway, gifting is wonderful, but I think that we need to be careful how we do that. So building relationship is one of the main things that I believe is key to, you know, when we go to a new community. It's, again, not going in there that we really have anything to offer, but to build relationship. And not just with the native people, but a lot of other places too. It's building trust, right? As you build relationship, you build trust, and then watch the Holy Spirit start to open doors. So it's not really different here. If I say now that I'm a Christ follower, what needs to change in my life? Can I be a Christian and still take part in this, still do this, still do that? Returning home on the ferry, it was quite strange, because now with the COVID thing, of course, everybody's in masks, and it was like, on the ferry, it was like a zombie apocalypse. People walking around with these masks on, and they're trying to stay their distance from you, and it was strange. And then as I was sitting, just watching people too, again, it was just hitting me about identity. Like, you know, especially right now, people have lost their jobs. People that whose lives were consumed in sports, entertainment, and for a lot of people, their identities were all wrapped up in that. And here we are now. Like, I look at this as sort of a good thing, because it's shaking people up to start to reevaluate things, and in the church too. So, thank you, Lord. I was just thinking about 10 Song Charlie again. In building relationship, one builds trust. With prayer, trusting the Holy Spirit to direct, and people will begin to talk of their hurts and pain. So my heart is basically helping people to understand their identity in Christ, acknowledging need, walking through forgiveness, and whatever else might be brought to the light. Walk alongside people and help them to discover their identity. So that's sort of the what I'm going to speak on today. That was just a little bit of telling what I've been doing up north, but again, it's all wrapped up in identity. Some time ago, we were. First of all, let me just pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that right now, for each of us, Lord, we are here because we want to hear from you. We want to worship you, acknowledge you. But Lord, we just want a clear understanding of who we are in you, that we'd be able to walk in the fullness of that. And not just for ourselves, for our lives, but for wherever we are, wherever we go, that in knowing our identity, that we would take the presence of Jesus wherever we go. So Lord, just help me now to give this message, Lord God, what you've been speaking to me, that your name be glorified, Father, in all of it, in Jesus' name. So for some time, we were on the foundations, talking about foundations. Pastor Randy had been talking about faith, baptism, Holy Spirit, Stephen, suffering. So the last time I spoke, it was about foundations, basically, and that was sort of a broad synopsis on foundations, on truths, to substantiate. Like, I'm just going back to the book of Genesis. So to substantiate the Word of God, who God is, and I believe that the book of Genesis, maybe sometimes we go too quickly through that. And for myself, I'm just spending a bit more time there. So that's where my message came out of today. Just give me a sec here. So, in Genesis chapter 1, 26, then God said, it's prophetic, hey? God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on earth. So God created man in his image. So for all of us, so we are image bearers. We were created in the image of God. That makes us image bearers. Right from the beginning, God's heart was to build a dwelling place for himself. Through his crowning creation, he intended to manifest his image, namely his character and authority. Man and woman being distinct from all creation, a moral being, spirit, soul, and body, with intelligence, perception, self-determination, and intrinsic value, with the capacity and ability to display accountability and responsibility. So how have we done at that? We know how that worked out for Adam and Eve. But a lot of times I hear people say, well, yeah, you know, one day when I see Adam, I'm just going to, you know, ask what's up, like, you know, reminding him of what he did. You know, the thing is, they are not responsible however I walk out my identity and destiny as an image bearer. I have the same choices. The choices that were before them, they're before us today. Are we going to, what are we going to choose? According to the Word of God, he said every person was created in his image. So, yes, we have, as Christians, we've surrendered our lives and we've come into relationship with God and we are image bearers of God. But people that have not taken that step, they're still created in the image of God. Psalm 139. My knees are shaking. I don't know if it's that I'm cold or if I'm afraid. I think what it is, yeah, it's the fear of God in that I have a responsibility in what I have to say here. And yeah. So, thank you, Lord. Yeah, see, there you go. Okay, Psalm 139, 13 and 14. And everybody's got their Bibles, right? So you can follow along, right? For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. Praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. Image bearers. So, to be an image bearer is your identity and destiny. Before I gave my life to Jesus, I didn't know that I was an image bearer, an intended image bearer, created in God's image. You know the big angel that God put at the garden, the gate of the garden, and he's swinging the sword around? That's so that they couldn't go back in to the tree of life. It's like, as I was thinking about that, I thought, wow, this flaming sword, I believe the sword speaks of the Word of God, and the flame is the Holy Spirit. praise you, Jesus. That big angel kept swinging his flaming sword to keep Adam away from the tree of life. Man's ability to sustain his delegated role on earth will rest in his continued obedience to God. As I was thinking about this morning, just sort of reviewing things, this came on my heart pretty heavy. Being that we are created in the image of God, every baby is conceived in the image of God. And somebody believing that they are above God stopped it or tried to stop it. And I just pray that even as I'm speaking now, that people would come to their senses and repent of that. When you think that every child is created in the image of God, that's pretty heavy duty. You know, it's not just a life or just this person, but this is the image of God that is being destroyed. Every aborted child was created in the image of God. And God's intention was that child would be an image bearer. And they are now. They're with the Lord. But that was God's heart, that every child would be an image bearer on this planet. Oh, Lord, forgive us. As I got to thinking about identity, just over the last while, a couple things happened that just really sort of solidified what God was speaking to my heart. I met up with a fellow I've known for 40 years, beautiful man, loves God. He's just incredible. And as we were talking about things and the word identity came up, and he said, Ron, he says, I went through a thing where he was high up and a leader in a huge Christian ministry, and he was one of the leaders traveling all over the world, and he'd been doing this for 15 years, and he was doing really well at it. And he said all of a sudden one day they just canned his job, they just eliminated it, and he was devastated. He went home and he went into a deep depression, and he was like that for quite a while until he just drew close to the Lord. And here's a man that loved God. But he was finding his identity in that position. And he was grateful now that he had actually lost that job, because it brought him back on course to see that it wasn't about his job, it wasn't about his position, but it's about who he is. His identity is in Christ. Another one, I personally knew a guitar player. He had a wonderful fellow. He was a new Christian when I met him, and he was just trying to get on track with the Lord. But one of the best guitar players I've ever heard, and he even had his fingernails clipped to like little picks and stuff, and the guy was incredible. But he was so, his whole identity was in his guitar. And we talked about it, and he said, if I couldn't play guitar anymore, I don't know what I would do. And here he was, trying to come into a relationship with God, and I sort of walked with him for a while, and then after a while, I'm not sure what happened, didn't see him anymore. But again, though, just recently, Eddie Van Halen, and I saw on Facebook, it's like all these people were just praising him and worshiping him, and just, you know, what a loss. And yeah, the guy was an incredible guitar player. Personally, I don't know what his life was like, but sort of thinking about maybe the circles he was living in, I don't know, but here he is, known. That's his legacy, that he was a guitar player, which is wonderful, but at the end of the day, what was his identity? Not long ago, Robin Williams, I think everybody thought, hey, Robin Williams, boy, the guy's funny. He must have it really together, and he was funny, and you think, boy, this guy's pretty solid in knowing who he is, and then look what happened. He committed suicide. Because he did not know his identity. He just got lost in the whole thing. I know there's somebody in ministry. I'm not going to say names here. I actually respect this person, and he's been through his own share of stuff and just trying to walk his journey with the Lord. But just an incredible teacher. But now he's got a son that is sort of following in his footsteps. And this main fellow, I've watched him a lot over the years, and he has this sort of this twitch thing that happens when he's speaking. And I've noticed that his son is the spit and image of him, even with the twitch. And I'm thinking, like, who is he? Where's his own identity? And that sort of falls into the category of, like, this is his dad, but he idolized him. And the Lord has dealt with me in that hugely, that, you know, when we read that in Scripture about have no other idols but God, I went through a time, and this was powerful. There was two times, actually. Back in the 70s, I had been through the drug scene, but this was long after I had sort of come out of the drug scene. But in playing guitar, a person that I used to really... I couldn't sing very good, so I figured, well, Bob Dylan sort of fits that class. So I'll learn his stuff, right? Because he sort of sings through his nose, right? Anyway, I was walking through this park one day, and I knew most of his songs. I could play them. And I was walking through this park one day, and I was sort of singing one of his songs, and I had been idolizing him. I thought, oh, boy, I'd just like to be like Bob Dylan. And I'm walking along, and all of a sudden, there was just... It's hard to explain, but it was like a vacuum. Everything just got really dark, and I felt myself getting sucked down into this vacuum, and it literally scared the hell out of me. And I, right then, because I, in a twisted sort of way, I was having a relationship with God, hadn't totally surrendered to him, but I knew that he was watching me and he was with me. And so I just said, God, forgive me. And I just felt myself come back to normal again. But that was it for my relationship with Bob Dylan. Yeah. So I didn't sing through my nose anymore. But another time, being that I have native heritage, Mohawk, up in the reserves they call me Ronto. So that's okay. So... back in the 80s, I guess it was, the church I was in, we went for a father and son overnight stay up at Lac Lejeune. And so we're there and, you know, having a good time, and then everybody went to bed. So I'm sleeping and I had a dream. And in my dream, I was walking down this path, and there was a path, and it was a log building, and there was a young native couple that were standing outside in front of the building. And I saw them, and I got excited in my dream, and I started to go towards them a little bit faster. I said, hi, you guys. Oh, it's so wonderful to see you. I just think you're so neat. And I just, you know, and I was a Christian then. I was a Christian, but in my dream, it's like God was dealing with something because of my native heritage. And I still sort of liked that. And I still do. But anyway, so in my dream, I'm approaching this couple. And as I approach them, the young man, his hand came out to embrace me. And it turned into an eagle's claw. And as it got closer towards me, it turned into a bear claw. And then this bear claw went into my shoulder as he was hugging me. And I instantly woke up with the pain in my shoulder, like claws going in. And I heard in my spirit, so who are you going to serve? He says, I sensed that the Lord saying that in my spirit. He says, I want your whole heart. And I realized then that I was still holding on to some of the native stuff that I thought was pretty neat. I had already been doing some evangelism and going out and doing stuff with the natives, but I was compromising, and I felt that if I didn't say the right thing right then, because I had walked outside, and it was a full moon, it was a beautiful sky, and everybody else was sleeping, and I felt like I was just going to, that was going to be it. that I was going to die right there and then if I didn't just repent. So I just fell on my face right in the road up in this park, and that just changed my whole heart about evangelism and how I approached it. So that was another time that I guess God had to scare a little bit more of a hell out of me. So anyway, so there's a Jewish philosopher. I'm probably not going to say the name right. Maimonides. Have you heard of him? Maimonides. Anyway, Jewish philosopher. This is from the 12th century, states, man's consciousness and the ability to speak is the image of God. Both faculties differentiate mankind from animals and allow men to grasp concepts and ideas that are not merely instinctual. So, he's the same guy that quoted that thing, that if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day, but if you teach him how to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. I just thought I'd throw that in. Yeah. So, as an intended image bearer, our bodies are part of the creation that God said was very good. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, it states that. And we are to use our bodies as instruments of righteousness. That's in Romans 6:12-13. So we are a temple of the Holy Spirit, our bodies. And we have a responsibility in that as an image bearer. As image bearers created in the likeness of God, could it be that my identity and destiny are intertwined for the purpose of bearing the righteousness and holiness of God? In the garden, perfect as it was, man was created in the image of God, but chose to be independent of God. Even so, still created in the image of God, we have distorted the very nature of God's character in humanity, and because of our rejection of God's holiness and rule in our lives. Personally, I don't believe that God was surprised by Adam and Eve's disobedience and subsequent fall from grace. Rather, he purposely set in motion his redemption plan. Man's only way to be restored is to find my identity totally in Christ. Jesus is the tree of life. The women are reading this book by Bob Sorge, Secrets of the Secret Place. On page 27, he says, "He is everything, and as we are joined to him, the poverty of our personal identity is lost in the fullness of his eternal greatness." Yeah, it's wonderful. Bob Sorge. So Bonnie's brought that book home, so I've been going through it. So I encourage men too. If your wives have brought it home, it's a good read. Praise you, Jesus. In Ephesians 4, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. This is part of our destiny, is to come into that and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. That's a part of my destiny, is to come into that and walk in that, and to put on a new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. I think that we need to start to see that more and meditate on that and hear what God's saying in that, that we are created in the likeness of God and to walk in these things. Like, that's our destiny, is that we would walk in those truths, we would step into those truths. Yes, this is destiny. There's eternal destiny that we hope for in Christ too, right? But right now, as we are image bearers, we are image bearers for this planet, for our time here. So this is what we want to step into. So if we go to Colossians, chapter 1, starting in 10. So, my destiny is to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. My destiny is being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience, with joy. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. My destiny is to be delivered. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. My destiny is to be reconciled in His body of flesh. This is 22. In order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. And then 23. My destiny is to continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven and of which I became a minister. Not shifting from the gospel. 23. And my destiny is to, in Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all His energy that He powerfully works within me. Thank you, Lord. Second Thessalonians, chapter 1. So my destiny is that God would make me worthy of His calling and may fulfill every resolve for good in every work of faith by His power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, in me, and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Destiny is not a place or an accomplishment. Christ in me is my destiny. Accomplishments are good. And whatever I find myself doing, the accomplishments, I should do the best that I can at them. But more than the accomplishment is being an image bearer of Christ in those things. And when I know who my identity is in Him, like, that's where I need to stay focused. So today, it's time to let Adam and Eve off the hook. and ask myself, how am I being tempted to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thinking that I know what is best for my life? What am I filling my life with that is not of God? And what am I finding my identity in that is a lie and taking me away from God? Our destiny while here is Jesus, and eternally Jesus. It's really all about him. Christ in me, the hope of glory. My identity and destiny is to be Christ-like wherever my journey takes me. Ultimately, our destiny is we will be with Jesus eternally. So all of life's trials, detours, will lead to him as we walk in him. Praise you, Lord. So today, for each one of us right now, we've surrendered our, for those that have surrendered their lives to God, that it's not just being created in God's image. Right now, you are an image bearer of Christ. And there's actually no pressure in us trying to do that. We're not going to try to do anything. But if we're in Christ, we can rest in that. Because it's in him that he is in us, and we can do that. But I just pray that today, that as the Lord speaks to our hearts, that we be impacted more with just the reality of that, that we are created in the image of God, yes. That we are image bearers of God. Praise you, Lord. And for those that hear this message and they're thinking about it maybe they don't really care, but whoever you are, you're still created in the image of God. So however you take this now, the truth of that, and however you respond to this, it's totally up to you. It's your choice. But there's also the thing, too, that if we don't step into that, and surrender our lives to Christ, how am I carrying the responsibility of knowing that I was created in the image of God? So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord. And, Lord, that for each of us, Lord, that we would be able to walk this out in our journey, to understand our identity is in you, and that today our destiny is a daily thing walked out, being in your presence. Yes, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I would just ask that if there's anybody here that has not surrendered their life to Christ, and this is an opportunity for you to step into that, the fullness of that, of becoming an image bearer of God. Because that only happens if we've been renewed, if we're in Christ, if we've repented of our own self-strength. Either God sits on the throne or I sit on the throne. And I did that for many years. I sat on the throne thinking I knew what was best for myself. And it's just a miracle of God, the grace of God, that I'm still alive today. But one day, doesn't matter who you are, we are all going to stand before the Lord. So with the time in our lives that we have left, it's a critical decision to make, the most important decision you make in your life. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, by your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.
That was awesome, Ron. Thank you.
That's fine. That's me. Those are all my papers. I just I just was getting a word as our brother was sharing. Like, you know what? I know for a fact that devil did not want you to hear what he was saying. And just a sec here. That's my Bible. You can only take your things. Hallelujah. That's fine. It's unfair because I came up before you were done. I know. I'm sorry. But I did want to say, everything that our brother was saying, that Ron was saying, the devil does not want you to be an image bearer. And when he said, it's time to let Adam and Eve off the hook, I thought, whoa, it's time to let a lot of people off the hook. It's time to let your moms and your dads off the hook. It's time to let your friends and former friends off the hook. It's time to let your brother off the hook. It's time to let your sister off the hook. It's like it is a total release, and I don't think we can bear the image that we're called to bear unless we do that. And he said that. He said, like, forgiveness. So I had it open to Matthew 6, where Jesus does the Lord's Prayer. But he said, unless you forgive from your heart, then you will not be forgiven by me. It's so serious. And I have been so struck lately that we can get really casual with our relationship with God. I don't know if we're so casual anymore. I'm sure not casual, but I feel like we can get that way and take for granted that we're pretty good. You know, we believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We made that commitment, and then we go on living and doing and thinking the way we do. And sometimes if we just examine our heart and examine ourselves like we should daily, we will find out that the way we're thinking doesn't line up with the Word of God or being an image bearer. It doesn't line up. It just doesn't line up. And I'm thinking, if there are 10 virgins in Matthew 25, it talks about the 10 virgins waiting for Christ's return, and if there 5 of them get to go in, and the other 5, Jesus says, away from me, I never knew you. I know I talked about this one other time. But away from me, I never knew you. Then I'm thinking, who are these people that were so-called following the Lord that suddenly, away from me, I never knew you? They were not bearing the image of God. They weren't doing it. Somehow, they missed the boat. So I'm just encouraging you from what Pastor Ron said, is that we got to examine our hearts. And we don't, it's not like a condemnation at all. It's like, hey, this is a living God who literally can say to us, come in or get out. And I can't even imagine the people that I love being told they can't enter. And so even when you said, if there's anyone who has not given their heart to Christ, like it's a do or die. We don't know what's going to happen the day we leave this place. And we don't know what's coming. But I know that if we're image bearers, we're going to be testifying. We're going to be witnessing the love of God to people out there. I mean, everywhere we go, supermarket, anywhere, to a school playground, wherever we are, we're going to be witnesses. We're going to either look and sound like the image of God, or we're not. And I don't know, it's just a serious time we're living in. It's always serious. It's always been serious. But I just think there's a reason why we've been receiving the messages also from Pastor Randy, and just messages we've been getting. It's just really time to take stock. So I just encourage you, to let the people that have hurt you off the hook. I just felt like there was thud. Okay, Like, it's time to let Adam and Eve off the hook. You just can't blame anybody anymore, especially if you're sitting in these seats. You can't. So you have to just stand before God, yourself. And yeah, so amen. And I bless you, Ron, for bringing that word, and I thank you. Yeah. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.